Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, in the last couple of hours, the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, has been answering detailed opposition questions on her decision to appoint the former Attorney General, Seamus Wolfe, to the Supreme Court. She gave an account of how that decision was made to appoint Seamus Wolfe and said that he'd been recommended by the Judicial Appointment Advisory Board and that her party leader had told her he believed he would make, Seamus Wolfe, would make a good judge. Well, Fergal Keane has been watching the debate and he joins us now. And this is the first time, Fergal, that we've had a very detailed explanation, I suppose, of what happened.
And it went on for 2 hours this afternoon with many people getting to ask questions. Now, Helen McEntee gave her version of what she said had happened. She had been appointed to the Cabinet on the 27th of June. She was first, that was a Saturday, she went into her department. The next day, the 28th, was handed quite a lot of paper. And then one of those papers was the recommendation by the Judicial Appointments Board to say that Seamus Wolfe had applied and come through that process to be appointed to, as a recommendation to appoint to the Supreme Court. In the next few days, there were five other expressions of interest in that job. But she went on and she said she didn't bring it to the Cabinet until 15th of July. There was two Cabinet meetings after she was first informed of what was going on. She never spoke to the Taoiseach at all about it, never mentioned it to him. Well, she did speak to the Taoiseach about it, and the Taoiseach said look, his name had come through JAB, as we're now calling it, and the Taoiseach said to her that he would make a good judge, Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge. Now, she said that in relation to judicial appointments, normally only one name was brought to Cabinet. That came up for debate later on. But here, Helen McEntee gave the summing up of what she said happened from her behalf in the appointment.
That there is a process when appointing a judge, not just a Supreme Court judge, but a judge to any court. I have, as Minister for Justice, adhered to that process. And just to outline it again for absolute clarity, I was appointed as Minister for Justice on the 27th of June. The following day, I received briefings from my department, one of which outlined that there was a vacancy in the Supreme Court. I was asked to fill that as soon as possible. I was also made aware that there was already a Judicial Appointments Advisory Board nomination or recommendation in my private office, which alerted me to the fact that the former AG had come through that process. I later that week, in discussion with my colleague, the Taoiseach, was informed that this process exists, or that the former AG had come through it. I informed him that I was aware of that, and he simply said that he believed he would make a good judge. Of course, I took that on board, but at this stage I had not received all of the other expressions of interest. I received those in a draft memorandum on the 6th of July. Following receipt of that, I looked at all expressions of interest, the recommendation through JAB, the sitting judges that are eligible for this position, and following a number of days, if not beyond two other cabinets, I then spoke to the Taoiseach, Taoiseach, Minister Ryan, the Attorney General. I made a recommendation to all four of them. There were no further questions. All agreed with the recommendation that I had put forward, and it was on that basis that a name was presented to Cabinet, and that Cabinet, or that particular Cabinet, approved Seamus Wolfe as Supreme Court Justice.
So that was one of the significant pieces of new information today, Fergal, that she did speak to the Taoiseach informally about this appointment, and he told her he thought that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge. But do we know, did she tell the Taoiseach at that point or at any point that there were five other expressions of interest?
It doesn't appear that she did tell him of those other expressions of interest, because she said that only one name had come to her through JAB. So he meant, that's what she mentioned. She said she may not have been fully aware of all the other five at that stage because they were in a different memorandum. But how she brought that name to Cabinet and only bringing one name to Cabinet came up for quite a bit of discussion with the Labour leader, Brendan Howland. He said that in his experience in Cabinet in two coalition governments, it was usual for the names of interested judges to be included in the Cabinet papers and memorandum to the Cabinet on this. And he quoted at length what he called the Cabinet handbook on how ministers should go about their business. Also, he said that the minister would also bring the name of the proposed appointee to the Taoiseach first. It would be unheard of for her not to do that. And he said she had broken all precedents by not doing this.
Go back and forth too, if I may. The Taoiseach's line of defence is that he couldn't have done anything improper since he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know who the contenders were and didn't seek to find out. So the Minister for Justice is left having to claim to be, as far as I can determine, the first Minister for Justice in history to personally determine a Supreme Court nomination without reference to the Taoiseach in a coalition government. Is that your position?
And that actually is her position.
That is her position.
She considered this herself. She had that name from JAB, and that's the name she brought forward. There was no other name brought to Cabinet.
And she is saying that she did not tell or discuss the other five applications, the expressions of interest, with anybody.
Nobody. No. So she kept it to herself, that she believed it was her duty to make the appointment.
Sinn Féin, meanwhile, said this whole process reeked of Fine Gael cronyism.
That it was an inside job, that there was no real consideration given to any other candidate. The Matt Carty, he was talking about that this afternoon. He said it reeked of jobs for Fine Gael insiders. No real consideration was given to any other interested party. And Mark Carty said there was actually no selection process.
When the truth is that this judicial appointment was an old-fashioned political stroke, it's as simple as that. Everyone knows that this was a shady deal. They know it stinks. They know what it looks like when people in power box off a job for their political friend. They know it because they've seen it all before. The reason, Ken Corla, why this process appears to be all over the place was because there was no process. The dogs on the street know that. The reason why the minister can't properly explain how she whittled four names down to one is because she didn't. It wasn't even as crass as eeny, meeny, miny, moe. This was eeny, 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 wolf.
Meanwhile, Social Democrat TD Catherine Murphy, she suggested this was made before Helen McEntee ever got on the scene.
Yes, she handed her a possible get-out-of-jail-free card. Social Democrat co-leader Catherine Murphy, she said she believed the decision to appoint Seamus Wolfe had been taken ever before Helen McEntee was appointed a Minister for Justice, but that she had been asked then to cover it up and take responsibility for it. Here's Catherine Murphy.
The Taoiseach told us the decision was made in advance of you being appointed as Minister for Justice. That's because Seamus Wolfe was the outgoing Attorney General, and because he came through the job process, that he would get the job. The Taoiseach pretty much said the same thing. So it's as simple as that. What I think occurred, Minister, is you received a hospital pass. You've been put in the firing line. You were defending a process by which the appointment was made, when we all know full well that there wasn't a process.
Paul Murphy then, the Socialist TD, asked some very specific and short questions.
He did, and he took an unusual step in that he made the people or party opposition leaders made statements first, then they got to ask detailed questions after all the statements were made. So Paul Murphy, he made his detailed statement, listened to all other people, then he stood up and said he had a series of questions and he wanted yes or no answers.
A yes or no, Minister. When you spoke to the Taoiseach about this matter, did you mention the fact that there were other expressions of interest other than Seamus Wolfe?
I have already said that I haven't. I made one recommendation to the Taoiseach, as is my job to do as Minister for Justice.
And when your party leader, Leo Varadkar, told you that he thought that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge, did that weigh heavily on your mind when it came to recommending him?
That's
what I'll say is at that stage I had not received the other list. Of course I took that on board, but having then looked at the other names, I made a recommendation based on who I felt was the best person for the job.
And then there was independent TD Matty McGrath, and he gave a sometimes emotional contribution.
He did, decrying the state of democracy in Ireland, asking what people in this country had died for to get the kind of democracy we have now, and he gave a summing up of where he believed we were in the state at the moment.
We looked for them, we fought for them. What have we got? It's as twisted as any some of the juntas in Africa and other places that we talk about. It's shocking, it's sad. But the sad part about it is that we have a sad situation of a Taoiseach now who's so behoven and craving to get that job. He's got his prizes, like got his first communion, or he's got his leaving cert or whatever. And whatever happens, not get away and him losing his job. As he knows, with fear and terror, that Leo is riding high in the polls, or Minister Bradker, sorry, and if he kicks up, they'll dump him over and we'll have an election. And he'll be gone. That prize will be taken away from him, that he much looked after. He's looking for it for 25 years, and he got it. and kicked out his own ministers, Barry Cowan, kicked out his own minister, Derek Cleary. God, if a tsunami came, once he could swim over, he'd stay, keep his head above the hill, and to hell with the crappies lie down, forget the country, forget the people who fought for Ireland, forget the families struggling today, forget the workers that are out there trying to work and carry on and try to make a living and eke out a living, and let the big businesses and the banks and the insurance companies and the vultures carry on the murky, dirty, messy work of sucking the lifeblood out of the fighting spirit of the Irish.
And that was Independent TD Matty McGrath. It was an intense couple of hours for Helen McEntee, Fergal. How do you think she managed?
Thrown in the at the deep end just last July when she was appointed minister, she had a very assured performance for nearly 2 hours this afternoon. Whether or not there are hostages to fortune out there by some number of things she said about the role played by Leo Varadkar, we're going to have to wait and see. But she was fairly assured, I have to say that about
her. All right. Well, Fergal Keane, thank you very much for joining us with that. And we will be returning to the story later in the programme. We'll be getting reaction from Fine Gael, Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil.
And you're welcome back to the programme. After 2 weeks of pressure from the opposition benches, the Minister of Justice, Helen McEntee, defended her role in the appointment of Supreme Court Justice Seamus Wolfe in the Dáil today. She took questions on the political controversy that has surrounded the appointment. I'm joined in studio now by Minister of State with responsibility for Overseas Development Aid and Diaspora of Fine Gael, Colm Brophy. Minister, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
I listened to all of the debate today. Now, you tell me, I'm trying to glean as much as possible of what we learned today. You tell me if any of the following is not factual, noting Seamus Wolfe's impeccable credentials. I think what we learned today is a newly appointed Fine Gael minister consults with Leo Varadkar, who's the Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader, before making a decision about the appointment, not with the Taoiseach, not with Eamon Ryan. She appoints the outgoing Attorney General, Seamus Wolfe, who had canvassed for a Fine Gael candidate in the previous election, to the position of judge to the highest court in the land, in a process where other judges had applied, and nobody but she knows the criteria of the appointment used. Is that factual?
What she did was she followed the process that was there.
Is that factual? Is anything that I read there not factual?
Sorry, Cormac. What you're doing there is taking a sequence in a version that the way you heard it, and I'm going to answer you if you don't mind by telling you the way I heard it, which is quite clearly what I have the right to do, which is that I heard her quite clearly say that when she was appointed as Justice Minister, she went into her department, she was made aware of a vacancy. She was told that the Chief Justice had indicated that they wanted the vacancy filled. She followed the process that was there. She went and followed the process that was there, which is the process for appointing a judge. And she had, as part of that, she had a conversation with Leo Varadkar, and she then came back and she went and she looked. She took her recommendation from the Judicial Advisory. She obviously was aware of other expressions of interest. She looked at the other list as well, which is the qualified judges that are available. And she came back and she informed, as is required under the process, the ministers who require to be informed prior to it, which is the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, in this instance, a government, the leader of the Green Party, the Attorney General, the Minister for Finance. And then she brought a memorandum to Cabinet, and that memorandum to Cabinet recommended
okay,
the appointment.
Okay, so
to
that's your
Wolfe.
Version of events.
That is the version of events. Hang on, it's indisputed.
Let me go through it. You say she followed the process that was there. That is hotly disputed today. You say she followed the job recommendation. The word recommendation is hotly disputed. Brendan Howland said he served in three coalitions, two with Fine Gael. He said all senior government appointments were subject to cross-party agreement and detailed scrutiny of all candidates, he said. It was never the sole or exclusive right for that minister on their own to choose. And he said this is what happened here.
The minister made it quite clear that she can't comment and neither can I comment on what Brendan Howland did or did not do when he was a member of Cabinet. The process that's outlined is the process that the Justice Minister followed. And she has made that quite clear from the very first time she was asked about this, including in all her answers that she did today. And that is the process that is set out. She followed that process and she followed it correctly.
she didn't follow the process that was followed by previous governments since the foundation of the state.
No, she...
Who did she consult with?
Brendan Howland made a point, which is his, obviously, his, what he is saying is what his view, recollection, his opinion
his experience.
Of what happened, his experience of what happened. She followed the process that is the process that is outlined for the appointment of a judge. And she did that.
Where?
She did it absolutely. And
the process,
the process that she outlined today, which is how a judge is appointed.
Not the cabinet handbook that everybody else followed.
Well, I'm sorry. My understanding is that she followed the process, which including there's a selection now of how the cabinet handbook should be interpreted. Deputy Alan Kelly, I know, was going on with this as well. But she followed the process as she understands 100% to be correct, as I do.
So she followed
and
that her
she,
process.
She followed the correct.
Is that right?
No, she followed that process, which is the correct process.
Why did various ministers, former ministers, stand up in the Dáil today in the convention centre and take issue with the process she followed then?
Well, there's a certain element always when you get into an area like this, I think, of political theatre, political circus. I think people wanted to make political charges. I think they did. I think at certain points we veered very close to the edge of what might be acceptable. Not all deputies did, but what has been quite clear, and I heard the minister herself allude to the fact that other former ministers writing about this today made the point that they followed a similar process of bringing one name to cabinet, which is what she did.
Why did she not outline the criteria used to evaluate? Can we listen to what she said in relation to criteria? Because again and again, speaker after speaker asked her to outline the criteria she used on her own. You put on your headphones if you don't mind, Minister. Okay. To outline the criteria she used when she went away on her own without consultation with anybody else. What criteria she used to whittle the list of names down to one, that being Seamus Wolfe. This is what she said.
So it is not for me to get into criteria. What I would say is there is no specific criteria for me. I do not have a list. I do not have boxes that I tick. It's not given to me. I have to use my judgment. And I do apply my own set of criteria. I'm not going to get into that because we're talking about sitting judges.
I use my own set of criteria? Is that credible?
Well, I think what the minister said there was perfectly credible. What she did was she said the process she used. I can't speak anything different to what she said. She also made reference to criteria which is used by the judicial appointments in their evaluation of judges, which is the process that they look at, and that it led to them, let's remember this, quite clearly recommending the appointment of Seamus Wolfe. And she said that she has a set of criteria which she uses, and that is the process which she followed.
So experience on the bench being one, I suppose.
Well, I'm not going to speculate, Cormac, because the minister did not outline the criteria, and I'm not going to speculate on the criteria.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Based on what we learned today, only she knows the criteria.
What she said was that she wasn't going to engage, and I think...
Am I right there?
I think it's quite right in this, in that I think getting into the criteria is a way of getting into critiquing the appointment of someone who is a sitting member of the judiciary.
So here is what we learned
today.
Which is
what certain people want to do because they have, I don't know, maybe an agenda or a reason behind it, but I think it's vitally important...
What agenda would they have?
I don't know.
You will have to ask them. Okay. So what we learned today, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that she decided on her own within days of being appointed a minister, a senior minister for the first time ever. She took it upon herself without consulting with anybody else to evaluate the list of names before her. And she chose the outgoing Attorney General. Is that correct?
She had a recommendation to her from the Judicial Advisory Board in terms of Seamus Wolfe, which was there, which came to her as minister. She had two other lists which were there, which were expressions of interests and which were the people who were qualified. And she went through the processes prescribed and came back to Cabinet with a memorandum that recommended the appointment of one name.
Did that on her own.
And that is the job.
Is that correct?
That is the job of the Minister for Justice, is to do that. And that has been stated by other previous Minister for Justices, that you come back with a name.
Minister, will you help me here?
And you bring that name to Cabinet.
Will you help me here? answer yes or no. She did that on her own.
She, as Minister for Justice, went through that process and came
please,
back.
Come on. Sorry. She was heckled in the Dáil today for not answering questions. Please don't ask me to make me ask you the same question numerous times. Correct or not, she did that on her own.
Cormac, she, as Minister for Justice, went through the process. Now, I'm answering it to you absolutely as fairly based on what I heard quite clearly in the Dáil today and knowing that she carried out the correct process.
Okay. You say she followed the process. Others would say she followed her process because former ministers are hotly disputing what you say. Can we come to the point?
Some ministers who are not serving and retired ministers have made the point that she did actually follow the similar process to what they did.
Can we come to the point where she said she had and before making this decision, she had an informal conversation with Leo Varadkar. Now, put on your headphones again if you don't mind. I'd be very grateful to you. She said she met with Leo Varadkar, who's the Fine Gael leader, obviously, before deciding. And this is what happened.
I have said that I did have an informal conversation with my colleague and with the Taoiseach. He informed me that Seamus Wolfe had come through the process and that in his view he would make a good judge. He did not tell me that this was to be the case. He did not inform me of any other conversations that he had had with other party leaders. But I think the three of them have very clearly stated that this was said to them by the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and Eamon Ryan, Deputy Ryan, have cooperated that. Minister Ryan.
I've got to say, Minister, I just the very fact that there was an informal discussion is an intrusion in the process, is pretty much saying, look, I'd really like to see this person appointed. This is who I favour. Before you go and have a look at the other list.
And that was Catherine Murphy, the Social Democrats. Was that an intrusion in the process by Leo Varadkar?
No, it wasn't an intrusion in the process. She had, as she quite clearly stated there, she had a conversation with the Taoiseach about this. I think that conversation took place after the Taoiseach had already talked to the other party leaders. And I don't think that's an intrusion in the process.
Was that conversation minuted? Was that meeting minuted?
I can't answer you that question because I know the information that I have from what was said today. My understanding is it probably wouldn't have been because my understanding by her own description of it was that it was an informal conversation and that the Taoiseach expressed a view, which I happen to think ties in with, ironically, what the judicial appointment said was that Seamus Wolfe would be a good judge.
So in terms of government business, this was a secret meeting.
No, it wasn't, Cormac. And I don't think...
But we didn't know about it until today.
No, sorry, Cormac. Listen, I know RTE do things slightly differently these days, but calling things secret meeting is going down a little bit of a, you know, I don't know what. Well, what are you trying with that? A secret? It wasn't.
No,
She's been very clear. It was an informal meeting. Now, what you're trying to do there, Cormac, is drum this up into something. It wasn't with a term like a secret meeting.
Let me explain the rationale from a broadcaster
who is broadcasting in a fair way.
Let me explain the rationale of that question. Because before she divulged that information today, nobody knew about it.
I'm sorry. She went through, and she's always been quite open and clear that she'd be willing to go through a process of answering questions in relation to how the process came out and what took place. She did that. She made herself available. If you go through a process like that, you're going to have, during that process, you're going to have bits of information or something that might be new or something that might be slightly different. There's no attempt made to keep anything a secret. She's been very, very open in how this, within the constraints that she faces as a Minister for Justice and that we all should, as parliamentarians, face in commenting on someone who is a sitting member of the judiciary.
The problem is, and this is key, she doesn't seem to have had that conversation with the actual Taoiseach or the Green Party leader.
It is very important that she went back, as is required, to the Taoiseach and the other party leaders and she, as is required in the process, informed them that she would be bringing a name to Cabinet.
When the decision was done?
She had... It's part of the process is to bring that name back and to tell them you'll be bringing a name to Cabinet and then a memorandum goes to Cabinet. There was no...
Senior members of the Cabinet would be informed of the names who had applied for this position, the highest court of the land. What happened here was that she had an informal, non-minuted meeting with her leader and not the Taoiseach. Isn't that inappropriate?
No, and it is important actually to get it right if you're going to be definitive about 100 years. She did, as regards to the process, inform the Taoiseach. She informed the leader of the Green Party. She informed, my understanding is, the Finance Minister and the Attorney General, the designated people, that she was bringing a name to Cabinet.
Only one
in
name,
a
isn't that key?
And that is absolutely the process.
And not of the other names.
Follow, and she did.
You've put
and
your finger on the crux of the matter here.
As she said herself quite clearly, you can sometimes have in other judicial appointments discussions about it, but nobody had a problem when she brought that information
can
to
I
the
put
leaders.
This to you, Minister? The allegation here from the opposition is that there is indeed a breach of the separation of powers here. And this is unfair to Seamus Wolfe, who has impeccable credentials. The allegation is that a Fine Gael minister chose a Fine Gael appointed Attorney General, a Fine Gael activist, as a Supreme Court judge. Now, the reason this is unfair to Seamus Wolfe is that he seems to be highly regarded in legal circles and has impeccable credentials, as I say. Now, if the minister and the government does not explain the criteria upon he was chosen, then the allegation of a political appointment is left hanging, and that's unfair to a sitting judge. Isn't that right?
Well, can I point out what you're at is getting really, in one way, not the way you think you are, but in another way, getting to the heart of the thing, which is that it's a political accusation, and it's an accusation made against a sitting member of the judiciary, which is a very, very unfair thing, I think, for us to have got into. It really is part of a process of undermining, I think, a very good system of justice, which we have in our country, which has stood us very well for many, many years, and a very solid judiciary which have performed. And even people who spoke today from the opposition side complimented the judiciary on their independence.
Okay. Very,
and I think it's very unfair that political charges like that are made against any member of the
Very judiciary. Briefly, before I finish, and this is a yes or no question, there's one other vacancy on the Supreme Court. Will that be filled, that vacancy, before the system we have to appoint judges has been reformed?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that.
Minister Colin Brophy of Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Well, as we've been discussing on the programme thus far, Minister for Justice Helen McEntee has staunchly defended the process through which Seamus Wolfe was appointed by her to the Supreme Court bench. Addressing members of the Iraq this afternoon, she said the government had adhered to the process and to the law in making the appointment. Mary Lou MacDonald, President of Sinn Féin, joins us now, and thank you for joining us this evening, Mary Lou. Do you accept the Minister's explanation?
Well, Sarah, I mean, the minister's story remains rather far-fetched. She told us today, after we eventually got her into the Dáil to make a statement and to take, albeit very limited, questions, that as far as she's concerned, she followed the rules. She had six, we now know, names in the hat, five of whom had judicial experience, the sixth was Seamus Wolfe, the outgoing Attorney General. And she, on her own, she says, whittled six down to one. She refused pointedly to identify the means of evaluation. She was unmoved by questioning from others, I think primarily the leader of the Labour Party, Brendan Howlan, who said that he had never in his life heard of this approach by anyone, any minister, any justice minister to such a high level appointment. And then I suppose she gave us the key to what actually happened. She told us that the one person she did speak to from the cabinet was her party leader and Taoiseach the Leo Varadkar, and that Leo Varadkar said to her that he believed that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge. And she took that matter into account. So I think it's very clear that what we had suspected is that there was really no formalised, methodical process by which this decision was made. The outgoing Attorney General, a staunch Fine Gael man who had sat at cabinet for 4 years, his name was in the ring. The Taoiseach gave the view, and bear in mind this was to a newly appointed and elevated minister, that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge, And lo and behold, Seamus Wolfe is now the judge.
Yes, and I can see that that is your view of what happened. But Helen McEntee was very clear in the Dáil today that she made the decision 100% all by herself. She said that, yes, that she did have that informal conversation with the Tánaiste. But after that, she went back and she looked at the other five names and she considered all of them using her own criteria and her own judgment. And she followed the process exactly as it should have been followed.
Well, the very great difficulty with that is, had the minister in fact followed specified criteria or some method of evaluation, she would have been in a position to describe that to us today, not to get into the relative merits or demerits of individual candidates. That's not what was asked of her. But she was simply asked in a very straightforward way, how did you, in a very short period of time, move from six candidates to one?
Yeah, and she
what
said
was the method of evaluation?
The reason she said she couldn't get into the criteria, well, first of all, she said there was no boxes that she had to tick. There was no specific criteria that she used. She used her own criteria. And she said the reason she didn't want to get into the details of that is because there is another position that has to be filled and there are more applicants that she has to consider, and it wouldn't be appropriate for her on that basis to get into the details.
Well, Sarah, I doubt that there's anybody now naive enough to buy that. As a matter of fact, the very fact that there are further positions to be filled makes it all the more, I think, a stronger case for the minister to set out the methodology for evaluation. Okay. You wouldn't get a job doing anything anywhere just by the look of the draw or without some criteria being utilised. So experience, those things
and
that
again,
should
Mary Lou,
have been
she,
in the mix.
She wasn't saying that there was no criteria. She just wouldn't tell us what the criteria was.
Sarah, I'm in the Dáil a decade now. So I know political spiel and I know spin when I hear it on the floor of the Dáil. She was being asked, we weren't, standing having a casual conversation on the floor of the Dáil to set out the method by which she made this evaluation. And she came up with only one thing. And the one thing was that she had spoken to Leo Varadkar,
and
the leader
you made
of Fine Gael.
I do want to move on, if you don't mind.
He had judged that Seamus Wolfe was the guy, and Seamus Wolfe, Fine Gael man,
all right,
got the job.
And you've made that point. Just very briefly on this whole issue, will Sinn Féin seek to bring this further? I mean, you got what you wanted in terms of the questions in the Dáil today. Is there a next step, or is this issue effectively put to bed?
Well, we didn't get what we want. We got very, very limited questions. We got scripted responses in a very terse way. But I think we have finally, despite the best efforts of government, we've gotten to the bottom of this. And I think now the question arises for Leo Varadkar. He clearly gave an opinion or advice or an instruction, interpret it as you will, in respect of the filling of this judicial place. And I think he needs to make a statement on this matter. I have to say, though, Sarah, for me, this comes down to this is what you get when you have Fine Gael in government and you have Fianna Fáil willing to protect them. It seems irrespective, Leo Varadkar can leak confidential documents, and now he can behave in this way in terms of a judicial appointment. And,
all right, Mary Lou, I'd like to move on, if you don't mind. Sorry, I'm sorry to rush you, but I have a couple of issues around the lockdown that I want to talk to you about, and we're going to be returning to that issue around Seamus Wolfe after 6 o'clock as well.
Well, I have to say to you, Sarah, and I know you have other things you want to cut, but we spent hours, I have to say, in a very cold convention centre. This is a serious matter.
Sure.
We do need to hear
from
the
We are covering it in detail.
Well, then let me just finish off what I have to say with this detail. The Tánaiste obviously needs to respond to what we have discovered today. I think it also raises a question for Micheál Martin as the head of government and as Taoiseach, what his view of this, now that we know that Leo Varadkar shared that view or instruction or whatever way you wish to interpret it, with the Justice Minister on this critical appointment.
All right. In relation to the lockdown then, I know that we have heard in the last short while that NERFET is urging the government to take a very cautious approach when it comes to easing the restrictions. And specifically, it's being reported that NERFET is looking for the hospitality sector to only do takeout over Christmas. They don't want the restaurants opened. What is Sinn Féin's position on this?
Well, our position is that government needs to heed public health advice. Item number one on the agenda has to be around keeping people safe and protecting our health services. We also believe that a compassion and common sense needs to be applied. I don't have access to that NERFET advice. I mean, I'm hearing it second or third hand from yourself. I do think that the government have to weigh things up in respect of the hospitality sector. And what they have to weigh up is the following, whether or not they want people meeting and congregating in controlled environments, or if they're going to cut off that avenue entirely. Are they sure that that's not going to drive up people meeting in each other's homes? And we know because NERFET has told us consistently.
What's Sinn Féin's view on that? We know that that's what the government has to consider.
My fundamental and our first position is that we follow carefully public health advice. And I haven't heard what that advice is. I don't have access to the kind of data that government will.
So but if the public health NERFET advice is, and we will eventually find out what is in that letter that has been sent to Stephen Donnelly. Okay.
So if
that advice is that the restaurants should stay closed over Christmas, would Sinn Féin agree with that advice?
Well, I think if that's the advice, I think that's the advice that the government will follow. But if I were sitting down with NERFET, if I were in government, which I'm not, but if I were sitting with NERFET, I would hear that advice, and then I would want to hear from them directly on the issue that I have put to them, because I can see that they will have a reluctance and they will exercise caution, and I understand that. But the reality is that people are going to meet over Christmas time, and the question is, which is the safest way? How do you most best mitigate risk? And I think NERFET and the government need to have an answer to that.
All right. And then just finally, lockdown in Northern Ireland tomorrow while we're opening up next week. Dangerous, do you think?
Crazy is what I think. And I think I've said to you before, Sarah, that what we need on this small island is the single all-island approach. It's manifestly ludicrous that we have lockdowns and opening up at different speeds and at variance with each other on a small island. Mm. And there's a challenge, here for the government in Dublin, but also for the executive in Belfast. We need an all-island approach, not just in terms of restrictions and lifting restrictions, on a cyclical basis. I hope we get out of this cycle of yo-yoing in and out of very heavy restrictions, but also on key issues like travel on and off the island. Nice. And then in no short order, also the vaccines and how we distribute the vaccines across the island. The only sensible way to do that is on an all-Ireland basis.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening, Mary Lou MacDonald. And apologies again that we were a little short on time. That's Mary Lou MacDonald, President of Sinn Féin. We're returning now to Minister McEntee's grilling this afternoon about the appointment of Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court. And James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD and Chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, joins us now from the Dáil studio. And thank you very much for joining us this evening, James. So what we found out a couple of things today from that questioning of Minister McEntee in the Dáil. But effectively, what we're learning is that under the watch of a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach, a Fine Gael minister decided by herself, without consulting anyone at all, which applicant out of six applicants or people who had expressed interest should be appointed to the Supreme Court. What's your reaction to it?
Yeah, look, I welcome the fact that the minister gave those questions and answers in the Dáil this afternoon. I suppose better late than ever. And I think it was important to clear the air. I think it was important that she did that. I took those questions from opposition and other deputies. I suppose, to be fair to her, in one regard, there was a greater threat of impeachment hanging over the process maybe 2 weeks ago than there may be now. I know they still talk about motions, but to an extent that threat has receded. So probably the environment was a little bit more amenable to that question and session today than it may have been for other reasons 2 weeks ago. In terms of the process followed, I suppose what I took from today's session was that the minister adhered to a process that she outlined today. She seems to have adhered to her own process, and she seems to have believed in that process. I certainly followed it as she thought it was the correct thing to do. What I would say is I'm not sure how robust that process is. In actual fact, I'd go further than that and say it doesn't seem like a terribly sensible or appropriate process for a job of this magnitude and seniority. And if you were to look at a job in the corporate sector or indeed in many other parts of the public service and have one person sort of deciding in that manner, and as the Minister said herself, without in the absence of specific criteria or a matrix drawn over, it doesn't seem ideal. So I suppose what I'd say is the Minister adhered to it, but was the process itself right? Now, I don't think it was. But one thing I've said already this week and in recent times, as Chair of the Justice Committee, I've recommended to the committee and the committee have taken up that suggestion that we should examine this entire area of judicial appointments. We should look at things like the role of JAB.
Before we get on to what happens in the future, let's just look at where we are now in the present. So you're raising questions about the process. You're saying she used her own process. Now, what she said today was she adhered to the process and to the law. Do you think she did?
Yeah, well, sorry, I don't want to be unfair to the Minister. I'm not suggesting that she made up the process. I'm saying that it appears from listening to her statement and looking back over her or the transcript that she adhered to what she believed to be the correct process. I think it probably was. Sorry, I'm not suggesting for a minute that it wasn't legal or anything like that. What I'm suggesting is it doesn't appear to be a terribly robust process. I think it's a process that appears to be flawed. I think it's a process that needs to be improved. And I'll give you an example. We've heard a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks about the role of JAB, okay, and what JAB does and doesn't do. As far as I can see, JAB is effectively a vetting house. It's a sort of vetting agency that if you go for the job, JAB checks your CV. Do you have the requisite experience? Have you served the relevant number of years in practice, etc.? Any number of applicants can come through JAB, and I'm told for certain lower court appointments, up to 100 names can actually come through. So the fact of coming through JAB is a positive thing. It's an important step, but it's not a selection process. It's not an adjudication. It's not a deliberation as to who amongst many would be the best suited. It's actually just a case of saying all the people that come through JAB are qualified. And then there has to be an additional step after that to see, well, who is best qualified. The other point I'd make in this, is, I think that's quite interesting, is that we're talking about JAB and that the particular candidate came through JAB, and I don't want to comment at all on the merits of the candidate or otherwise, other than to say he is eminently qualified. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the reason maybe only one candidate came through JAB is it would be so unusual for anyone other than a sitting judge to go for a Supreme Court position.
I think we know this really, don't we though, James? We know that JAB is not a recommendation process and it's only one string to all of this. I suppose the question is, where do we go from here now? Because what we've been told today is that we have a Minister for Justice who used, in her own words, her own criteria for picking a Supreme Court judge without consulting anybody. She's a former junior minister. Before she got this job, she was a former junior minister for European Affairs. She was 2 weeks in the job as Minister for Justice. She has no background in law or legal affairs. Mm. And she was faced with 6 applicants to the Supreme Court. Mm. 2 weeks in the job as Minister for Justice. And she decides on a name all by herself, using her own criteria, under the watch of a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't think it's ideal.
Really? Not at all. Is that as perturbed as you are about it? It's not ideal?
We're not going to turn the clock back and we're not going to undo the appointment, OK? I don't think anybody is seriously stressing that in any quarter. So we are where we are, OK? So I think what we do is we take learnings. I don't sit at Cabinet. I'm not party to these decisions. I don't know what the Cabinet handbook says or doesn't say because I'm not there at the table. What I can say is looking at it from the outside, it appears to be an imperfect process. Concerns arise from it. I have concerns on it. I think every member of the public has concerns on it.
OK, just so your concerns... Go on.
You suggested that we all know how JAB works, etc. I don't actually necessarily think that's true. I think prior to the recent debate, the vast majority of the general public and probably the political establishment to an extent didn't actually know what JAB
okay, but
did,
as a result
work,
of this lengthy debate,
yes,
which has been going on, I think we have all discussed JAB. Now, in terms of your concerns, do you have concerns about the informal meeting between the Taoiseach then Helen McEntee, during which he said that he believed that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge?
I think that a comment like that or a representation like that would appear to be unfair on the other 5 applicants. I think probably it's true that he'd make a good judge, but who's to say the other 5 wouldn't make equally good, if not better, judges?
Well, of course, Leo Varadkar didn't know about the other 5 and Helen McEntee never told him.
Well, maybe that means the meeting was inappropriate or endorsement of that type was inappropriate. And that goes back to the point that I was attempting to make a moment ago about JAB. I think actually what's striking here is there's a suggestion that JAB is sort of used as a sort of a selection process or a referral process and only one person came through. The reason only one person came through JAB is there was only one non-judge applying. And the fact that if we look back at the past as to how many came through JAB for these appointments, it's very few, because most people who would have been applying for the job in the highest court of the land would already be a judge. Yeah. So the fact that somebody was coming through who wasn't a judge is actually quite unusual.
Can I just bring you back for a second, James? So you're saying that you believe the intervention by the Tánaiste with Helen McEntee, in which he told Helen McEntee that Seamus Wolfe would make a good judge, that that was inappropriate. And we're just meant to leave it there? You're the chair of the Justice Committee. You're a Fianna Fáil TD. You're telling us that you think the Tánaiste made an inappropriate intervention on the appointment of a Supreme Court judge.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, look, I think that conversation may not have been helpful. I say it may have been a little, I suppose, in terms of the process, in terms of how the other judges were brought into the mix, you know, or not brought into the mix, as the case may be. We believe that they were, and that's what the minister said today, that she considered all the names.
But I'm talking specifically about Leo Varadkar's intervention with Helen McEntee, that none of us knew about until today. Incidentally, did you know about it?
Of course not. How could I possibly
know? Do you know if Micheál Martin knew about it?
I doubt it. But
do you know
no
if
idea.
He asked?
I don't know. I don't discuss these matters with the Taoiseach on a daily basis, I'm afraid.
Would you like to know?
Look, I think we have to look at where we are now. Look, there is.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm trying to do, because I think we all sat there, any of us who are watching that debate today, and looked at it and wondered.
I don't think it really surprises any of us. I think if we're honest.
Really? Because I was surprised. You weren't surprised?
Well, I think we all know that the names that came to Cabinet, or the one name that came to Cabinet, I think there was some suggestion that there were informal discussions beforehand. I don't know, and I suppose that's why it was important to have today's session, to see who spoke to who about what was said. It's not perhaps particularly unusual to think that an outgoing former Taoiseach who had an Attorney General serving under him would suggest that person might make a good judge. It's not perhaps as shocking as perhaps it might be suggesting that it is. It's not particularly unusual for Attorney Generals to go on to the bench.
Okay, but
it's happened numerous times over the last century. I don't think it's good practice going forward. Let's be honest.
Was it good practice in this situation?
Probably not.
Okay. Do you think it may have made the Fine Gael minister, Helen McEntee, biased or under pressure in any way if her boss comes to her in the middle of an appointments process and says that one person in particular would make a good judge?
I've already said I don't think it's good practice. I think that's not being around the bush here. Of course, it would have some, it would have had some weight to it. I suppose we don't know what other criteria replied. The suggestion today is that there was an absence of criteria. I think that's part of the problem here. So I suppose what we have to do from this, the only thing we can do from this, there's nobody going to unpick this appointment or unwind this whole. Take the jigsaw apart again, you know.
Why not? You know, I'm not suggesting that the appointment be unpicked
or
unwinded.
Well, let's think through how that actually works, Sarah. You know,
but
why
do you think
that
the Tánaiste has questions to answer here, at the very least?
He'll have to answer that himself. I'm not here to speak for him or anything
No,
else.
I know you're not. I'm asking you, would you like to hear from the Tánaiste about this? And would you like to hear from the Taoiseach about this? This has all happened under Micheál Martin's watch, that we have had a justice minister using her own criteria and her own judgment to appoint a Supreme Court judge when there were six applicants, and having her boss tell her which one he thought would make a good choice without consulting with anybody else.
Yeah.
Under Fianna Fáil Taoiseach's watch.
Yeah, she was a new minister. I think it's maybe a little unfair to suggest that because she was a new minister, she wasn't able to make decisions or she wasn't able to process it. I think when you give people a brief, you have to give people the scope and the headroom to work within that brief. And I think I'm sure the minister is perfectly capable of doing that. I think the minister has said herself that the processes that she followed or the structure that she worked within was actually, you know, perhaps a little grey. Perhaps there was a vacuum there. She doesn't appear to have brought any particular set of criteria to the table. If it existed, she wasn't aware of it. Perhaps it doesn't exist in the first place. And all that is cause for concern. And all that says to me that really how we do this in future, I mean, we already know. Yeah. So what do we know? We know there's five names in the hat from the last round. We know there's another vacancy coming up imminently or already open. You would imagine that vacancy will be filled from those five names. Maybe there are other applicants. Maybe there are other equally well-qualified applicants that want to make themselves
again,
known as well.
I'm sorry, James, before we go on to what happens in the future, in the last couple of minutes that we've been speaking to you as chair of the Justice Committee, you've said that this appointment and things around it are a cause for concern. You've said the intervention by the Tánaiste was inappropriate and that none of this was ideal. Now, are you saying we should all just take all that and say, ah, well, it's done now, let's move on? Or are there other questions to be asked? Do you think the Tánaiste should make a statement on it? Do you think the Fianna Fáil Taoiseach should make a statement on it?
I think you get to a point of diminishing returns. And any political controversy, you get to a point where you begin to you get answers, you begin to get some information, but you have to balance heat against light, OK? And I think it's fairly apparent what's come out so far. It's fairly apparent the process is flawed. It's fairly apparent that if there was political representations made, then they probably did influence the decision. It certainly would be difficult not to. And so we have to consider as a system whether that's the way to do things in future. And we have to weigh that up.
But you're asking the public today, anybody who's listening, to just accept that this process, which is a cause for concern, involved inappropriate interventions from the second most powerful politician in the country and was not ideal. We should just accept it and move on.
Well, Sarah, there comes a point where there's, as I say, a law of diminishing returns. Are we to prolong this controversy for weeks upon weeks upon weeks? We do have a pandemic facing down our throats. We do have Brexit happening the 1st of January 2021. There is a point of diminishing returns. We've seen it's been useful to highlight and to scrutinise the process. It's been useful to see the flaws in the process. It's been useful to see the human failings in the process. And it's been useful to see how this could be improved as we go forward. And I think that's an important learning to make, an important step to make. I think there comes to a point where you do reductio ad absurdum and you can dig and dig and dig and dig. And what, you know, for what? Try and get a head on the plate, to try to get a scandal before Christmas? I think you come to a point where we've seen the flaws in the system.
James, don't diminish it like that, a head on a plate or a scandal before Christmas. These are very serious, fundamental questions about the appointment of a judge to the highest court in the land. You've used words yourself which show how concerned you are about it. So this is not about a head on a plate or a scandal before Christmas, to be fair.
No, exactly. And as a symbol of how serious I'm taking it, I've put it upon our committee's work program squarely as a body of work to examine this process, to see how this can be done differently in future. I am reluctant to get into the nitty-gritty of the particular appointment, because we do have a serving judge in the middle of this, and a serving judge who potentially has an impeachment motion hanging over him next week. Mm-hmm. So I think that is important, just to have that little bit of distance from the specifics of this process. But I think there are multiple learnings emerging even today alone.
Yeah, there certainly are, James. We'll leave it there. And thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this evening. That's James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD, and Chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee.